This is Voicemail, the Universal Postal Union's podcast covering the wonderful world of mail. I'm your host, Ian Kerr. In this episode, I'm joined by Stephanie Copus-Campbell, Australia's Ambassador for Gender Equality. I'm joined by Stephanie Copus-Campbell, Australia's Ambassador for Gender Equality. Welcome. Let's start with the question that we ask all our guests on the UPU Voicemail podcast. Tell us about your first memory of the post.
I love this question because, you know, I was just telling my kids the other day that I miss good old-fashioned post. I mean, when you go out and you'd wait for that letter and it wasn't there and you were so disappointed and you went back the next day and you got it and you opened it slowly and you read it, like it was quite magical. And now I just get bills in the post. But I think my first really good memory would be when my grandmother sent me a dollar bill for my birthday. And a dollar doesn't sound like much, but I have a few years on me. And back when I was a kid, a dollar was a lot of money. And I remember that coming in my birthday card and opening up, and there was this shiny dollar bill in my birthday card. And that memory will stick with me. I wish that a dollar could buy that much nowadays, but it was pretty exciting to get that dollar in the post.
It always was exciting to get a bit of money from a grandparent in the post. Let's talk a bit about what your role and what inspired you to become an advocate for gender equality. I mean, was there a defining moment when you're looking back or an experience in your career that propelled you towards this path?
Yeah, I don't know. I grew up with a mother and father, actually, who both very much strongly supported equality in all forms, including gender equality. So it was part of my upbringing. But when I joined the development workforce, international development, and my first posting was to Papua New Guinea. I'm 25 years later, I'm still working on PNG in one way or another. But I saw very early on that if we did not have gender equality, if we did not have a situation where every person could contribute and there were no barriers in terms of that contribution, then one, our programs and projects were more successful, and two, the country as a whole was more successful. And in fact, it was clear, very clear to me across everything that I did, and not just programs that worked in the space of women's empowerment, but whether it be an infrastructure program, a health program, a mining project, etc. When you had gender equality, you had happier teams, you had better financial outcomes, you had better organizational outcomes, you had a healthier nation. So I've been a really strong advocate, both for personal reasons, I deeply believe in it. Gender equality is a human right. It is the right thing to do. But I have seen firsthand in everything that I have done in my career that with the more gender equality you have, the better everyone is.
Talking now about your role as the Ambassador for Gender Equality, can you elaborate more on what the goals and sort of the daily responsibilities of your office are and how that intersects with other national and international gender equality initiatives?
Yeah. So my role is I'm Australia's lead advocate for gender equality internationally. And I have the great privilege of traveling around the world and meeting amazing people and having amazing conversations about exactly what we've just discussed, why gender equality is so incredibly important, both again as the right thing to do, but the smart thing to do, and the smart thing to do for individuals, for families, for business, for nations, and indeed for our planet. My government, the Australian government, firmly believes in gender equality. We are strongly committed to gender equality, both at home, so we're doing a lot domestically, as well as in terms of our work internationally. And so my job, it's not just a lot of people think, oh, you're just in the international development space, which is not true. Of course, development's an important aspect of what I do. But my role as our lead advocate cuts across every single aspect of our foreign policy. So from our humanitarian responses to international security discussions, to climate change discussions, to trade and how we are considering economic prosperity, for example, to security. So in all aspects of foreign policy, gender equality is incredibly important. and being a lead advocate, it's a wide-ranging portfolio that I do engage with.
Looking back on your first year in the role, what would you say some of the major challenges have been?
This role has been incredibly wonderful and positive. And I have to say that up front, it's been the most incredible job because I've met the most incredible people. But of course, all roles do have their challenges. And for me, I believe it would be really understanding some of the global challenges that we face in terms of gender equality and really seeing firsthand how we've had some slip backwards in terms of gender equality and some pushback in terms of gender equality. And I think the challenge for me as someone who has dedicated her life and her career working on gender equality, when you realize that we might have more challenges in some areas than we did when I started this many, many, many years ago professionally, it can be quite confronting and therefore quite challenging, but also inspiration that we need to roll up our sleeves and continue to work together and do more.
Now, you've worked across various fields such as socioeconomic inclusion, human rights, gender-based violence, to name just a few. In your opinion, then, what specific initiatives in the postal sector could significantly advance and accelerate women's and young girls' empowerment?
So the postal sector has some pretty amazing opportunities. You have opportunities in terms of how you engage women and men in your workforce, how you have a large workforce, how you're able to train people to promote values and principles to ensure that people understand why this is so important. So the postal sector can do a lot through their employees. You can do a lot through your customers in terms of the services that you are enabling women to access that may be difficult to access otherwise in your postal shops, et cetera, that enable them to then perhaps have more security on how they access services or more freedom, for example. And indeed, the way in which you're now starting to look at e-commerce, I find that really exciting because within that space, more and more women can participate in terms of promoting their financial well-being. And we know that when a woman has more income, when she has more opportunities to earn that income, including through all the incredible opportunities with e-commerce, then she has the ability to take care of herself, take care of her family, ensure that she may be able to leave a violent situation if she needs to and has that financial empowerment to do so, et cetera. So the ability to unlock financial assets for women, to give them opportunities, we know that in terms of income, access to income and access to income generation opportunities, it is much harder for women than it is for men. So the opportunities and the innovation that can come with the postal sector, that is really, really positive and frankly, really, really exciting.
Now, Australia is an active supporter and advocate of gender equality within the UPU and its membership. What support or changes would you like to see from the UPU to further the gender equality agenda in the global postal sector?
So I have to say, I mean, I'm pretty impressed with what you're doing. I'm actually really impressed. And I know that there was a major step last year in approving the inaugural gender equality policy. And I understand that the importance of this for the organization is to help to guide the sector in positive transformation. So having that leadership and having a policy in place, I understand that you're doing things like promoting education and professional development of women, as you noted. Those are all really wonderful and really important steps forward. So I don't know if I'm actually well placed to say this is what I'd like to see you do more of, but what I can say is what I'd like to understand more of. I'd like to understand what targets you have. It's one thing to have a policy, and we often have a policy, but unless you know where you're heading and what you want to achieve, and you can measure against that and report it, then it's more difficult to see and to understand what success looks like and also what you need to learn from and do differently. So I'd be really keen within your policy to understand a bit more of what do you want to see within 5 years and how do you plan to get there? And then what else you may want to, for example, do differently and also what you can share with others, because the work that you're doing in many spaces, it is innovative. It is something that others can really learn from. So I'd like to see how you're making that progress, how you're reporting it, and how you're sharing it. And this work, I have to say, is so important. There is not a single country in the world that is on track to meet the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and goal number 5, gender equality by 2030, not a single country. And we all have to work together in every single sector to ensure that we're doing better and that we're lifting our game and indeed that we're not going backwards. So what you are doing and the innovations that you are putting forward, really, really important. And I'd like to see you continue to share that and to inspire others to also take this really essential, important work forward.
Let's talk a bit about leadership then. Australia was behind the appointment of the UPU Deputy Director General as the first gender equality champion for the organisation. So how do you see the role of public gender advocates or male allies in accelerating progress towards a more equal world? I mean, could you even see a man in your post in the future?
So there's no way that women can do this alone, or should women do this alone. And having male champions, male partners, men working alongside us is so incredibly important. And without that, we will fail. We will absolutely fail without male champions. And I'm delighted to say that I've met hundreds and hundreds of just impressive, strong male champions. And sometimes, you know, frankly, if I walk into a room and I'm speaking to men, they may not be listening the same way as if a man walked in the room and spoke to them as a man, and they listen in a different way, perhaps. And so it's really important that we come at this at different angles, and that's really essential. So the male champions are, they're vital, absolutely vital. At the same time, can and should a male be doing my role? Well, yes, a man could do my role. And I think it's really what the emphasis is at any one time. I do find, in terms of the emphasis that I've placed on this role, I go and I sit down and I speak to women all over the world. And I speak to women in terms of our shared experiences of being a woman. I speak to women about the shared experiences of the unequal burden of childcare, about some of the issues that women might deal with in terms of confidence, of some of the issues that women might deal with in male environments where we try to speak and we're not listened to and kind of shut down, and some of the issues around domestic violence, et cetera. And so given that sharing of experience and being able to share some of my own experience and some of my own experience that hasn't been positive, I'm able to really unlock important conversations so that I can learn, I can understand, and those that I'm speaking with feel that they've also been heard. So I'm not sure that if that's the emphasis of the role, it's important potentially to have a woman doing that. That said, if you want to look at a different emphasis of this role and look at it in terms of how are we speaking with men, how are we speaking with young boys, how are we ensuring that we are looking at gender equality as an issue of men and women, which of course it is, and that's the emphasis of this role, which it very much could, and perhaps there's room for that to happen, you know, soon. I believe that then a man, you know, could do this job very, very well. So I think it's any person that would come into my role would have the emphasis where they're drawing on their skill set and their comparative advantage. So if a man was in this role, he would undoubtedly do it a little bit different as if another woman was in this role. But I think just because you have an ambassador for gender equality, it doesn't have to be a woman. The way in which I have carried out my role, it's been helpful being a woman so that I can sit down and really speak to other women about our shared experience.
Let's look forward then. What advice would you give to young people, especially young women, who are aspiring to lead and to make a difference in fields like the postal sector? What would you say?
I would say thank you. I would say you are incredibly important. I would say your contribution is essential for a healthy, innovative, and successful organization. I would say to them, and I have, it's not always going to be easy. And there's days where it feels extra hard. And sometimes what you may be experiencing may be a little bit harder than your male counterparts. If you look at the statistics, you may have a more significant care burden. You may feel that when you are speaking up in a meeting, no one's listening, and you turn and you see your male colleagues speak up and then people turn and listen. You may feel you have to speak louder and more often to be heard. And sometimes you may feel very, very frustrated. But keep at it. Keep at it because it is important. Keep at it because you are a model for other women. We can't be what we can't see. We need to understand where we can go and how we can get there from those who have done it and are doing it. And so by women coming together and working to contribute to an organization and demonstrating why that is so important, it is not just important for the individual or for the organization, it's important for everyone. So I say to all women that I meet, it may not be easy at times, but it is so incredibly essential. And thank you.
A quick question before we wrap up. Is there a flip side to that? If you're a young aspiring leader and you're male, how do you make room in your career to make sure that women's voices are heard and that there is equality in your own career?
It's not a zero-sum game. I think there's a sense that if a woman comes and she's successful, then men might lose out, or it and that's just something we need a lot further education and conversations about. When you have a workforce, and this is what I would say to men, understand why this is so important. Understand why when there's gender equality in the workforce, it is going to be better for you and it's going to be better for your entire organization. There is so much evidence out there to say when you have more equality in a workforce, you have happier teams, you have better decisions. Your team as a whole will do better. There will be potentially less discrimination in other areas. And so it's really important for men and women to understand that gender equality is absolutely not a zero-sum game. It absolutely benefits everyone. And when we can jointly promote that, and for men too, I think it's really important to understand what some of the barriers are that they may not even realize because they haven't had to experience it. So that idea that women are, even if they feel it might not be happening in their own home, there's a lot of social expectations, for example, that women will be the ones taking care of the children or going home when the kids are sick. And when they don't do that, there is a lot more judgment often than there would be on a man. And that can be then a barrier for women. Understanding the rates of violence against women in our community and how that can be a barrier, and what to look out for. And so when you don't have something that is part of your lived experience every single day, and I'll just give you a really quick example because it's an important one. I was in Melbourne the other day and I was wanting to go out for a run. And I asked a male colleague, is it safe around this area to go for a run? He said, oh, I go for a run every morning, no worries. And it wasn't a worry for him. He went for a run every morning. I went out for a run and there were a few men that were quite, they'd been at the casino all night. They were coming out at 6 o'clock in the morning and they harassed me terribly and I was scared and I had to come back. And it wasn't safe for me. For him, his lived experience, every day he went out for a run and every day it was safe and he never had to think and worry about those things. As a woman, my lived experience means I have to look at different things from a different lens, and for example, in that instance, judge my safety differently. And so I believe it's really important for men to understand that and also to question both men and women some of those unconscious biases that we may carry as well about how we view the role of women and the role of men, and challenge ourselves on that as well. So it's part of just, again, that training, that awareness, that understanding, and being able to understand that people have different lived experiences based on many different factors and aspects. But some of that is based on the fact that there are, for example, social norms around what women are expected to do and men are expected to do.
There's so much more we could talk about. But I think this is a great starting point for many other conversations for us to have in the postal sector about gender equality. Stephanie Copus-Campbell, Australia's Ambassador for Gender Equality, thank you very much for joining us on the UPU Voicemail Podcast today.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
You've been listening to Voicemail, the official podcast of the Universal Postal Union. Subscribe to the podcast on your favourite podcast platform and you'll get each episode downloaded to the device of your choosing as it's released. My thanks to the team at the UPU for their help putting together this episode. I'm your host, Ian Kerr, and I look forward to your company next time on Voicemail, the podcast of the UPU.